for the Navarrete family. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as you're turning there, of course, we'll stand together for the scripture reading. And as we stand, we're standing in reverence to God's Word. And it's good to see several visitors here tonight. Twice a year, we have our midweek service on Tuesday, always the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and then always the Tuesday of college graduation. And but every time we have church on Tuesday, we still have church on Sunday. And so you be prayed up and ready to go. Also, this Thursday morning, at what time? 9 o'clock. And this Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, we'll have the opportunity to be a blessing in our community by delivering the turkey and other items that will be delivered to underprivileged households. And you know, a household that has Jesus is not an underprivileged household. And so we're going to share the gospel as well this Thursday at 9 o'clock. And I see a host of turkeys out there. I think we're getting close. And we appreciate everyone helping with that. And we appreciate all of those that are putting those together. So let's remember to be in prayer that folks would be saved on Thanksgiving Day as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning in verse number 23 is our text for the message as well as our preparation for the Lord's table tonight. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I'd like to ask you tonight to read with me verse number 24, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Verse number 24, ready, begin. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And tonight we focus on these words, and when he had given thanks. Let's pray. Father, help us to give thanks even when we're in our difficult moments of life. Help us, Lord, that we would have the grace and mercy that comes from thee, that we might be in all circumstances a people looking to you, thanking you, and praising you. Let it be true tonight as we partake of these elements. As we open the bread of life, may we have thankful hearts. May we, through this week, honor and glorify Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
His son not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross.
As we gather around the Lord's table tonight, we will observe one of the two ordinances of the church. And tonight we recognize that these are not the sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's table, but they are the ordinances of the church. In other words, no one is saved by taking the Lord's table. We are saved by putting our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But we partake of the Lord's table in order that we might remember how great He really is in dying on the cross for our sins. Now, the value of this experience depends largely upon my heart and yours as we partake of the Lord's table tonight. And so, through the preaching and through the music, we must prepare our hearts in order that we might receive the blessing that God has for us in just a moment. As I prepared my heart for this service and as I prepared for this message, there was a phrase that just kept jumping back at me from the scriptures. You know, sometimes we read the scriptures because it is right to read the scriptures. And it is right. Sometimes you might not feel like you're getting as much out of it as you'd like, but it's sort of like the funnel that has water running through it. It's a whole lot cleaner for having the water run through. And so it is with your life. It's a whole lot cleaner for having the Word of God run through. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. And so sometimes we read the Word of God and we're being blessed. But there's other times when we read the Word of God and it seems like some truth just jumps off the pages of Scriptures and enters into our heart. And that's how this phrase is with me tonight in verse number 24. It says, and when he had given thanks. And when he had given thanks. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think with me about the fact that Jesus Christ gave thanks. And I want you to notice in the first place with me tonight, the giver of thanks.
the giver of thanks. Who is it that is giving thanks here? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to ponder in your heart for just a moment, why would he have to give thanks? For after all, Jesus Christ is the creator of the world. He's the one who created the wheat from which the bread was made. He's the one who created the vine from which the juice was given. But he, the creator God of the universe, still is the giver of thanks for what he was about to partake of. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." If you're here tonight and you do not know that your sins are forgiven, you do not know that heaven is your home, I want you to know that it is available through Jesus Christ. Your sins can be completely covered tonight, not by taking of this wafer or this juice, as some churches would say, but by putting your total faith in Jesus Christ. We have redemption, the Bible says, through his blood. In your notes there in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1, it says of Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, watch this, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Do you understand that by him the wheat was created? By him the vine was created? All things that were created, the Bible says, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So the question tonight, if the creator of this world would give thanks, how much more should we give thanks? It boggles my mind that on this particular night in the life of Jesus, he gave thanks. He's the creator God. He is co-equal with the Father. The Bible says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus in that verse is referred to as the great God. Thank God that Jesus Christ is an equal person of the Trinity, that he is not only creator God, he is God. In fact, in John 20 and verse 28, the Bible says that Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." And when Thomas said to Jesus, "My God," Jesus did not say, "Thomas, don't call me that." But Jesus received the worship as it was due to him. He is the Lord and he is God. So Jesus Christ, the creator God of the universe, gives thanks for the bread. I wonder if we could learn a lesson from that tonight. If the Creator would give thanks. A farmer was passing through a city restaurant. He stopped in to have lunch, and as his food was served to him, the farmer bowed his head. Just a common working man he was. He had his overalls on, and yet he bowed his head and he gave thanks to the Lord. Some rather rude and unruly men in the corner booth saw the farmer praying, and they began to laugh at him, and they began to say certain things under their breath. And then one man lifted up his voice and he said, "Hey, Pops, where do you come from? Does everybody pray before they eat?" And the farmer, after a moment of silence, says, "Everybody but the pigs." I wonder, did we pray for our lunch today, fellas? Ladies? How about the kids that go to public school? You say, "Well, you can't pray in public school." Oh, we can pray for our lunch. We can give thanks. The giver of thanks, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, though, the graciousness of his thanks. What a gracious act this was. I don't know that most of us would have given thanks at this moment. Not because we were so unthankful, but because of what was coming down, if you will. Notice, it was in a time of sorrow. What does the Bible say in verse 23? Jesus says, Paul is writing here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." How many of you find that when something troubling is happening in your life, that it's hard at that moment to be thankful? It's hard when someone is maybe stabbing you in the back to be thankful for everything else that's going on in your life. And the graciousness of Jesus Christ is seen in the fact that on the night he was betrayed, the night that one of his own 12 would betray him, he gave thanks. You know, if you knew that somebody was about to sell you out, you might not be eating at the same table with them. You might not be very thankful for certain things. You might be wanting to somehow pinpoint who he is and get the others to lynch him and take care of him. But in the midst of that sorrow, Jesus Christ gave thanks. Soon he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there Judas Iscariot would betray Jesus Christ. And Jesus, because he is God, knew that that was going to happen. Yet, knowing that, he gave thanks. I wonder, when you know that bad things are about to happen in your life, can you still give thanks? Can we, like Daniel this past Sunday morning, who knelt down 3 times each day and opened the windows toward Jerusalem and prayed and gave thanks, knowing he may be thrown into the lion's den? Can we give thanks knowing that there are some things just around the corner that are unpleasant? I tell you, there's a graciousness in the heart of a man or woman who, when things are just not going well, can still give thanks to the Lord. In a time of sorrow, he gave thanks. Many of you have heard the stories of Corrie Ten Boom, the Christian woman who was held in the prison camps of Hitler. And as she spent time in the German prison camps, one of the most difficult trials she faced was that her entire body became infested with lice. And throughout the days in the prison camp, she said that the most miserable part of it was fighting with this lice problem. And she said one day she was complaining about the lice to her sister, who was also imprisoned. And her sister reminded her of the Bible verse, "In everything, give thanks." Now, how many of you have a friend that sometimes gives you a Bible verse just right at a time like that when you're not ready to apply it? Anybody like that? You know, like husbands who give the verse, "Wives, submit," right when you've got something to say. You know what I mean, ladies? And here's the other verse, "In everything, give thanks." And Corrie Ten Boom was having trouble knowing how to give thanks about that. And she challenged her sister. Corrie's sister challenged her to begin thanking God for the lice. Corrie said, "What a ridiculous thing to thank God for lice." And yet, she began to thank God for the lice. She said, "I don't know how or why, but God says in everything, give thanks." It wasn't until several months later, when they were released, that Corrie Ten Boom found that one of the reasons that she had been preserved from the assaults of the German soldiers was because the lice had infested her body. She found that the lice had actually become a protector to her, and that God had actually designed some good from that peril. Someone has written, "Even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have strength to rise. There are many who are bedfast. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost and toast is burned and tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazine and the menu is sometimes unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. Even though the routine of my job is often monotonous and sometimes overly rigorous, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are many who have no work. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you for all you've done for me." I wonder, in a moment of betrayal, if Jesus Christ could give thanks, then we who are Christians or Christ-like ones, could we give thanks in our moments of trial? Could we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ? As we went to the Philippines a few weeks ago, there were a lot of things on my mind, and it seems like sometimes there are always things on my mind. They just flutter in and fly around sometimes. And I suppose one of the things that was on my mind and my heart as we left to go to the trip, besides all of the ministry issues there, was several of the needs here. The need to get this building back here completed and the needs for members of the church, the need for the college of having an actual full gymnasium now with a social area for the young people. And thank God for the dorms that have been raised up. And yet there's a need there. And sometimes the financial burden, frankly, is quite heavy on my heart. I try not to be a complaining pastor about that. But to accommodate the Sunday school space that's needed and the recreational space that's needed and all of these things. And we know that brick and mortar do not make the ministry, but those are tools and helps. And sometimes just the monthly aspects of $37,000 for the electrical bill last month and just things like that and making sure that all the needs are met. And God has met the needs. Praise God for that. But it was on my heart. I don't think that most of the time staff members go to bed ever worrying about payroll or medical. I don't want them to. But the senior pastor sometimes just bears the whole big burden of it. I'm not giving a pity party. I'm just saying there were just a lot of things like that were on my mind. We've got all this, and Lord, we still need to do this and this. And Lord, how's that going to happen? And God, could you do something? Could you touch someone's heart and so forth? Well, of course, we got over to the mission field, and soon you begin to see the different sights there, and the Lord begins to shift that burden away, and I wasn't really thinking about it at all. And as we got to Iloilo City, where Brother Martin serves, we walked around their campus there, their college dorms, their gymnasium, their dormitories, their auditorium, Brother Martin's house right between an auditorium and dormitories, and not fancy at all, miraculous though. And as we were in Brother Martin's house, I'm always humbled just to go into his home and to see the ruggedness of how it's constructed. The concrete walls and then the one bamboo wall and the geckos. Every time I've been in there, there's been geckos in there for some reason. And they're eating bugs that are in the house. And it's just a very small kind of a kitchen living room. Very, very narrow. A worn tile from where people have walked in and out. And it's the entry to the house is maybe a 2.5-foot hallway that you walk down between two buildings and kind of get into the house. And while we were there just having something to drink and looking around, Brother Martin, he came to me as we were walking out of his house and towards one of the buildings for church. He said, Brother Chapel, he said, I want you to know that we're praying for you. And I said, well, I really appreciate that. And the Lord was already beginning to deal with my heart. In fact, before he said this, the Lord had kind of put on my heart as we'd had lunch with Brother Martin. He said, you know, we've been broken into so many times, Brother Chapel. He said they break in through our windows because they had bars on the few windows they had. They've broken in through our roof. They've broken in so many ways. He said we've had, I forget if it was 20 or 30 people killed right around the fence of their campus. Just people been robbed and all these different things that have happened. And while we were there, and still while we're not there, the Islamic threat and all those different problems and the health issues, his daughter's open heart surgery and so forth. And it was almost as if the Lord placed on my heart this burden and this thought that if Brother Martin will bear these burdens, then you be willing to bear your burdens. If I can give him grace to live here and to do this, I can give you grace to do what you need to do in America. And God was strengthening and encouraging my heart. But then the biggest blessing came. Brother Martin said, I want you to know we've been praying for you. And I said, well, I really appreciate that, Brother Martin. I said, I pray for you too, and I do. And he's on a short list of godly men I pray for every day. And he said, but I'm praying specifically that God would provide for you and for your church. I'd not said one word to him. That God would provide a financial miracle for your church. He said, I can't imagine having a college in the States. All of the buildings and all of the things. He said, the Lord's just put on my heart that God would bless your church in a wonderful way with a miracle financially. And I said, well, Brother Martin, I said, that's such a blessing that you'd pray like that. Just a short man with just a small countenance, maybe weighs 150 pounds max. Had on just an old shirt. And they don't wear ties over there. Just some shoes kind of scuffed up from all the soul winning and just standing there with so little praying that God would help us. I thought to myself, how many of our own members pray every day for a financial miracle for this church? And here's a man 10,000 miles away with a little bit of nothing in life, and he's praying every day for me. He said, but Brother Chapel, he said, Not only am I praying, but he said a lot of our students and a lot of our staff, and he said a lot of the pastors on this island are praying that your church would be blessed with a financial miracle. And again, I said, Brother Martin, that is so kind that you'd share that. He said to me, he said, I have their names. I'd be glad to show you their names. A little while later, he came out with these papers. He said, they each take an hour a day to pray for your church. Here's their names, folks. They have nothing. They don't have cars. They don't have kitchens. Maybe one pair of clothes. He said they're praying 24 hours a day between now and January 1st for you, for your ministry. I see Jesus in the Last Supper giving thanks as he's being betrayed. I see Rick Martin in that environment where he lives, that the open sewer is running just a few feet from their house, the stench of it, really. And I see him standing there saying, here's the names, Pastor Ruben Reyes, Miss Alma Talamon, Pastor Mallorca, Miss Grace Bourbon, Pastor Huludala, Mrs. Labanya, Pastor Navarez, Miss Rowena Soberno. These are people now. These are people right now. Someone in the Philippines is praying for us. I see Jesus in the garden giving thanks. I see Brother Rick Martin praying for us. I say it's the grace of God that causes that. I can't tell you how my heart has been humbled by this. I can't tell you how this has blessed me in my prayer time to know that somebody in the Philippines is praying with me about these issues. You see, the graciousness of Jesus Christ, thanks. In a time of great burden, in a time of betrayal. The Bible says in John 16:30 that Jesus knoweth all things. He knew that Judas would betray him. And sometimes if we think someone is against us, or if we think someone is plotting against us, we're not really likely to pray for them. And yet that's exactly what Jesus was doing. I want you to see tonight the giver of thanks. I want you to see tonight the graciousness of thanks. What graciousness, what a godliness it takes to give thanks at a time like that. And then I want you to see thirdly tonight the gratitude of true thanks. The gratitude of true thanks. You say, well, that's kind of an oxymoron or a contradiction maybe, the gratitude of thanks. No, there are some people that give thanks, but it's simply lip service. Simply lip service. I believe that all of us ought to develop a gratitude attitude. I probably should not say this publicly, but over the years, my wife and I have always tried to meet someone at the airport that we were interviewing for a position on staff at this church. Lots of times we've taken them to the same restaurant, exact same restaurant. Brother Halk, I didn't take you there. I owe you. We pick them up at the airport. We go to a particular restaurant, possibly for lunch or dinner. We talk about their background, their family, their education, their walk with God, their devotions. We go through all kinds of things. But did you know that one of the things we always watch for, just a simple thing, did they say thank you for the meal? Did they say thank you for the meal? Do you know that I've found that thankfulness is not something I can teach in a staff meeting? Thankfulness is something the Holy Spirit puts into someone's life. Thankfulness is not something that we can just fake. Sometimes people never do say thank you. Sometimes we will say thanks. But it's more of a cordial thing. But here we see the true gratitude of thanks. The gratitude of thanks. What tonight causes you to be thankful? Why should we have that gratitude of thanks always? Why in the world should we in everything give thanks? Why? What's the basis of such a commandment? Well, I want you to see here in the text tonight. First of all, we can give thanks for everything when we remember that Christ died for us. When we remember that Christ died for us. Compared to any other situation in life, remembering what happened on the cross will always bring us back to thanks. That's why Paul in the prison at Philippi could give thanks to God. Every time we focus on the cross, We can give thanks. The Bible tells us in verse 24, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Verse 25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye in remembrance of me. Now, isn't it amazing to you? It is to me that Jesus Christ had to ask us to remember him. Jesus said, I want you to do this tonight so that you will remember me. I want you to truly have a grateful heart. Thankfulness is thankfulness. We're not going to be thankful for Jesus unless we're thinking about Jesus. And the purpose of the Lord's table is to get us thinking about Jesus Christ. You don't think about him when you're on the road listening to 640 KFI. You don't think about him when you're listening to the talk radio. You don't think about him when you're watching television. You just don't think about him lots of times throughout the day like we should. So Jesus says, here's something I want you to set aside to really remember to think about me. Think about me. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll forget exactly who we were. Isaiah says we were like lost sheep gone astray. But that God has laid our iniquities on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when he died on the cross and shed his blood, his death paid for our sin. He was afflicted for you and for me. So we are to remember the death of Jesus Christ. I think of Romans chapter 6, how that we are buried in the likeness of his death. That's what baptism pictured. Are we still tonight dead to self and alive to Jesus Christ? We need to remember him tonight. Not only do we need to remember his death, but I think tonight we need to remember he's coming again. Again, it amazes me how that Christians, right after they're first saved or during the first part of their spiritual growth, they'll come to terms with the fact that there is a return of Christ. There is a judgment seat of Christ. And they're motivated by that. Good night. And then he doesn't come for a month. Or 6 months or a year or whatever. And all of a sudden, we're not motivated like we should be. Listen, we should live every single day with his coming again in our mind. Look at verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, read the last phrase with me, please. Ready, begin. Ye do show the Lord's death. One more time. Ye do show the Lord's death. The Bible says, every time you do this, you're going to show a picture of the Lord's death. Till he come. Let's say it one more time. Till he come. One more time. Till he come. This is a picture until he comes. He wants us to keep on remembering him and keep on remembering him and keep on remembering him. Why? Because, friends, he is coming again. Amen. And oh, that we would be renewed in our heart with the fact that Jesus died for us and that Jesus Christ is coming again. And thirdly, we need to remember to live for him today. In light of the fact that he died, in light of the fact that he's coming again, we need to live for him today. Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now let's just pause for a moment, and let's just think about this. Sometimes we go to the doctor, and the doctor will examine us. He'll get out all kinds, perhaps, of scopes and X-rays, and he'll examine, and he'll look for anything that is a problem internally. A good doctor can catch things that we would never catch. He's going to give a thorough examination. God says, before you take this, and again, this isn't the way of salvation. There's nothing mystical about this tonight, but what it represents is all powerful. So God says, before you take it, let a man examine himself. What are we to do tonight? We're to remember that Jesus died for us. We're to remember that Jesus is coming again. And in light of that, we're to examine our lives. Am I ready right now for Jesus to come again? How many of you have company coming over Thursday? Anybody? All right. How many of you are going somewhere? Wow. How many of you have company? Those of you that have company, you know what you're going to do tomorrow night, Thursday morning? I know what you're going to do besides cook. You're going to clean. You're going to get ready. You're going to make things right. Now, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming, we need to examine ourselves tonight. Look, I can preach and preach and preach and never hit on the exact need that you might have. But right now, the Holy Spirit can say, you know what? You're not where you were 1 year ago at Thanksgiving time. Now, there are people tonight that are not in church faithfully who were 1 year ago. Not a whole lot, but there are a few. There are some that are in church tonight, but their heart is not where it once was. Now, only the Holy Spirit can show you that. So let this be a safety check for you tonight. Examine yourself. Let this be a time to say, hey, he died for me. He's coming again. Am I ready for that? Am I living with that thought in mind? Let a man examine himself. And so we see that Jesus Christ is utilizing this opportunity for our hearts to be made right. Now, thankfulness seems to be a lost art today. Yet the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I mean, it was so good that at that verse they just said, it's unspeakable how good Jesus Christ is. How many of you tonight recognize that if you're saved, Jesus Christ lives in you? He's your Savior. One year on a Christmas day, which happened to be a Sunday morning, another farmer decided he'd go to church. And like some people, he was kind of fulfilling his C&E duty, you know, Christmas and Easter, you got to go. And so he was going into the church on Christmas Sunday morning, and the sermon that morning was preached from a text, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. That was the text. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but the children of Israel did not know their God. That was the text on Sunday morning. Merry Christmas. And Isaiah basically is saying there that man is sometimes dumber than the animals. And that old farmer, he went home after church and he went out by his pasture, was standing with the cows all around him. And one of the cows came up and began to lick his hand. And the farmer thought to himself, you know, the Bible's exactly right. This old dumb cow knows who I am. Cow standing there just slobbering and licking on the man's hand. And as the cow was doing that, the man, strong in physical body, had his heart touched and he began to weep. And he thought, God has done so much more for me than I've ever done for this cow. God has been so good to me. All I give this cow is water and grass. My cow is more grateful to God, or more grateful to me than I am to God. My cow has paid more attention to me than I pay to my God. Now wonder tonight, the cow knows its owner and the donkey knows its owner, but are we acknowledging, are we thanking God like we should? Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, the Bible says, when he had given thanks, he broke it. When he had given thanks. I don't think there's an excuse tonight worthy of our not giving thanks. If Jesus Christ, facing Calvary, facing betrayal, could give thanks, then so should we. Let's stand together for a time of prayer. We see the giver of thanks. We see the graciousness of thanks. And we see the gratitude of true thanks. May we have tonight, as we partake of these elements, that kind of a gracious heart. Father in heaven, bless this brief invitation tonight, Lord. May we be a truly grateful people. Lord, we pray tonight that you would convict us for our unthankfulness at times. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would convict our hearts, Lord, in light of the fact that you died for us, in light of the fact that you're coming again for us, in light of the fact, Lord Jesus, that you want us to live for you. Help us tonight to give thanks. Lord, there might be someone here going through a time of loneliness, someone through a time of disappointment, someone that's been discouraged and we don't even know how or why. Oh God, I pray tonight that you would fill their heart with gratitude for what you have done for them, so that like Jesus on the night of his betrayal, they might be able to give thanks. Lord, we do thank you, praise you, and worship you tonight, for you are worthy, Lord, of our praise and our thanksgiving. You are worthy of all the honor that we could ever give to you and will ever give to you for all of eternity. May that heart tonight that needs salvation be opened. May that one in this room that is not sure that heaven is their home, may they come tonight and trust Jesus as their Savior. May every Christian examine their lives. And Lord, where other things are crowding you out, may those things be forsaken tonight. May you have first place again as we take this time together.
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Brothers.